Hi everyone, Camille here. It's 1 p.m. in Asheville, 7 in Brussels, and 1 a.m. in Shanghai. We're live, you're listening to Cosmic, exploring the world of change via the arts. Thank you for tuning in. We keep exploring the art space in season 3 of the show, talking to artists and thinkers from all around the world, with the mission to decipher how humans use the artistic practice today and how it relates to societal change. You know it, at Cosmic we believe that those who master perceptions and storytelling shape reality. Perceptions, perception, perception. This is precisely what we're going to talk about today. Last week, I had a thought-provoking conversation with Kira Bursky, which I recorded, of course. Kira is a 24-year-old artist based out of Asheville in North Carolina. She's won a good number of awards already as a filmmaker and screenwriter. She has produced over 60 films and music videos that have screened at festivals around the world, from LA to Berlin to Beijing. In 2014, she was already screening her work at the White House. Needless to say, her stories will blow your mind, and her thoughts right now will probably challenge you a little bit, which is good, right? As usual, I prepared music and sounds to go with the words, an attempt to emotionally transport us into her universe, the surreal, magic, introspection, vulnerability, and perceptions of reality. Are you ready? Chapter 1, Magic, the Surreal, and the Power to Shift Perception.
The pitch, oh, I had to pitch myself. Let's see. Well, I am a filmmaker and just a general artist. I am really into basically all forms of art, and I would say, yeah, my biggest fascination is, yeah, perceptions of reality and just how we perceive our reality and how we can exist in different worlds, really, depending on where we are internally. So I'm fascinated by that and by our own ability to change our reality and change our perceptions, and how through that journey we can actually enter new universes, really. I was, I don't know, like 7, 8, I was already learning how to animate, and I was drawing and singing, and so I just kept on pursuing all different mediums. But in terms of my fascination with with the surreal and with magic and things that are metaphysical. I would say that really began maybe near the end of high school.
Nipples and fangs, the evening chokes, the candle burns, this disguise covers bitter lies, repeating a joke, the meaning it dies. Pass me a coat, I'm not afraid to leave, I'm letting you know, I know what you need, I'll turn you around, this beautiful town.
I started to experiment with like set design and crafting worlds that give off that magical vibe where it feels like your world is a reflection of your internal state. To play more with the idea of, you know, when you have a daydream or when you have a worry, how you can get so caught up in that that you play it out. And you're playing it out in your head, but it becomes your reality. And so playing around with how I can visually show that through filmmaking. You feel this way, but for me, it feels like in life I go through these chapters where I experience reality in a certain way, and then one day I realize that I'm experiencing it in a very different way, and It might be a subtle change, but it changes everything. And it's generally a feeling based, but that feeling extends into how I think and how I perceive things. And so I feel like with each film and each song, with whatever I'm making, it's like funneling that energy into all the details. And it's not even always conscious, but it's this subconscious transferring of that energy of where I'm at and how I'm perceiving and interacting with reality. So it's like each art piece is almost like a snapshot of this universal view in the moment, and then the next film is a different snapshot. I love to view everything from a lens of that magical quality, and I know that's a bias, and I know that's my own warped perspective, but why the heck not? Why not?
Follow the masses, they know the way to our headquarters. You don't have to think. If you join us, we promise you'll never have to cry again. We've made a plan for you, solve all your problems, just come on time. We'll make your life easy, trust us, we know. This form, no need to read the small print. We'll turn your soul into gold. We've made a plan for you, solve all your problems, just come on time. We'll make your life easy, trust us, we know what we do.
Moment, no matter what's happening, no matter where you are, you can feel any feeling. You can feel happy, sad, angry, and possibly nothing is occurring, nothing in particular, but you can change that feeling. That in and of itself, that ability is magical. But then you can also, if you're truly present and in touch with how absurdly strange and surreal it is just to exist, then you're just in this state of awe and magic, and that's possible every moment if you just wake up to it. Like right now, I'm looking around, I'm like, this is pretty strange. You know, I see all these colors, and I'm breathing, and I have a body.
I don't know the real from what I thought I saw. I can't remember where I went, where I was. I'm gonna move towards a point in time where you are is a state of mind. And any time I can read your thoughts, some of them yours and some I thought up, there's no good reason for heartbreak. Nothing's repeating every Monday. No good saying you'll always be mine. These jokes life's playing, they make me so tired, so tired.
Chapter 2, Inner Healing and the Myth of Societal Shift. We started deconstructing the process of making art, of making yourself vulnerable by creating, what's going on inside and why some artists find it pleasant while others can get really anxious and suffer in the making.
A lot of thoughts about that. Where should I start? Well, for one, I definitely use art as a healing sort of thing, I guess. 'Cause with a lot of my films and projects, it gives me a chance to really reflect on where I'm at and what I'm experiencing. And actually, I noticed that in a lot of my work up until recently, a lot of it felt so heavy and dealing with depression. But recently, because of where I'm at in life, I'm seeing that there's this shift taking place in my work where now I'm still telling stories about depression and anxiety, but now I'm telling stories where there's a shift that takes place, like this. Is more of a stories more about healing and the ability to come out on the other side of it. Whereas I wasn't there personally before, and so I didn't even know how to tell those kind of stories. So it's just Wait, what was the original question?
Thank you.
a vulnerability. Yeah, so it's a very, I think it's a really natural thing for me to be vulnerable in my work. So again, for one, it's for my own reflection and processing of things so that I can heal in my own way. But then also, I feel driven to tell these stories and put it out there so that other people who are maybe going through similar things maybe they see it and they feel more comfortable talking about it, or they feel less alone, or maybe we can have a dialogue about, you know, topics that sometimes are scary to talk about, or you don't really know if other people understand. And so because of some of the responses I've had with some of my pieces that were very vulnerable, I just feel very driven to continue to push myself to be authentic and vulnerable, even if it's scary for myself. I really believe in open communication and feeling safe to be how you are, however you are. And so by pushing myself to be vulnerable, then I hope that helps to create openness for others.
My knees and I wobbled in my walk and I'm trembling. That's right, you got me shaking. When you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart starts are doing that Saint Rita dance and I'm dancing. Yeah. Oh, and I'm shaking. Early in the morning time, late in the middle of the night.
What can I do to make art and feel pleasant making it? Like, why? I don't want to live the rest of my life and continue pushing myself and just always feel uncomfortable. Like, what is behind that? And so I realized part of it, you know, is just like pressure on myself, pressure to be successful and productive. And then another part of it was the voice in my head that's worried about what other people are going to think about what I'm making or how it's going to turn out. Is it going to be good? Is this choice going to contribute to an overall, like, great thing? Is this going to be, thoughts that were so future-oriented and so focused on things outside of myself? And that was kind of happening in the background, and I wasn't even fully conscious of it. It was just, I was so used to it.
In his day,
then along came Delilah and clipped his wig.
And it looks like you took me the same old way, so I'm nervous. Oh, and I'm shaking. Alright, you got me nervous. Yeah, I'm shaking and jumping. A storm rocks a ship on the sea. The wind shakes the leaves on a tree. And I'm a nervous wreck and I'm all shook up. And that's what you're doing.
So then during quarantine, I was reflecting on that and realizing, like, I don't want that to be driving me. Like, that completely undermines, like, you know, that's not my core. And if that's what's behind everything, then you'll feel it. The audience will feel that. So anyway, so I started getting in touch with that, and I made a few different films during quarantine where I was really trying to practice realigning myself with the present moment as much as I could in each step of the way. And so when I started to feel the bubbling anxieties, to notice it, but then remind myself, why am I making this? Like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And generally, if I was truly present, then the reason would just come back to being in the present moment and existing and experiencing right now. And it's usually, generally it's very simple, like why I'm doing what I'm doing, but I forget that and I get so caught up in this convoluted layering of like, I need to, you know, just all the reasons, the thoughts, and anyways. Definitely felt a shift, and I feel like I, for the first time in my life so far, I've been starting to make work where a lot of the process is pretty pleasant, and it feels good, and it feels authentic, and I feel more in touch with why I'm an artist. And so because of that, all the work that I made during quarantine was more positive leaning, whereas all the work I've done up until quarantine had more of a heavy existential abyss like quality, where it's like, oh, we are in this universe and it's depressing and it's scary, you know. But there was a shift. I'm like, I don't think I want to make art with that message, that underlying tone. And I feel that shift of healing in me, and yeah, and so that extends into the work if I'm truly present. One of my first romances, I have a distinct memory of I don't know if she was my girlfriend or whatever, but this girl saying to me that you can't love other people until you love yourself. And I remember, and at the time, just not understanding why she was saying that and feeling heartbroken and confused. But then that phrase stuck with me. And then as I started to grow, I started to understand what that meant. And I realized that it was completely true that that with depression, with, you know, just what I was dealing with, that until I went on my own journey to find balance, that I couldn't fully be there for other people. As much as I wanted to deny that, as much as I wanted to like be in love, I realized I needed to go on this journey. And while I've been on this journey, the more that I've healed myself, the more I've been able to accept love and let love in and love others and pause on my own feelings and be there for other people, and learning how to just, yeah, to be in that flow of love. And I have a lot more to learn, and it's exciting, and I love being on this journey.
All my broken pieces, but it's sweet summer rain. I'm born again. Oh, no.
So I feel like that, all of that, is a big source of inspiration for me. And I feel like what I have personally been learning, and what I can only imagine that I'll continue to learn, I would love to gift that possibility to anyone else who feels drawn towards it, you know, or who's at a place who wants to go on that own journey of inner healing, so that you can be in the flow of love for yourself, love with other people. Is something that I feel drawn towards putting into my work, whether that be in the narrative or just be in the energy of what I'm creating. Ourselves, that shifts how we relate to others and to the world. So yeah, I definitely think that our own individual healing journeys and transformation journeys and journeys to understanding ourselves can lead to societal shifts. In fact, I mean, I feel like that's the only way to lead to societal shifts. Really? Well, I don't want to say only. I don't believe in onlys. That's not true to me. That's not authentic to me. There's not there's never an only. There's always a spectrum. But anyways, erase what I said about only.
Chapter 3. Labels, pure words, and the gift of being present.
sexuality or like with my mental health or with whatever you can possibly categorize. I think there was a time where my brain wanted to find what are my labels? Like, what are these things? Like, oh, there's that word sounds right. You know, this word sounds. But then lately, I think a lot in part to meditation, I suddenly just feel, I don't know, I don't feel so drawn towards these labels or these concepts of identity. I kind of feel more flowy in my identity, because when you just start breathing and meditating, then everything is just, it's hard to put in words, but it's just kind of like, I'm just kind of even trying to talk about it, just everything starts to go blank, and I'm like, what identity? All of that, like, that's all, those are, my whole identity is my own concept of the past. It's literally just thoughts. And then I can keep rehashing those thoughts and build on that and then move forward into the quote unquote future. But it's all just like concepts. Off truly being alive, because then you're conforming to your own set of laws of your reality. So it's like everyone has like, this is what's right. This is what I usually do. Oh, this is what I'm drawn toward. This is my favorite fill in the blank. But then if you're really being present, then none of that exists anymore. Really. Anything can change. Anything is possible. And doesn't really matter what your favorite thing once was, because in this current moment you have whatever you have, and in this moment it could consume your reality, and this can be your favorite thing because that's what you're doing right now. I guess a year or two ago, I started getting interested in the idea of the law of attraction, because it just seemed like so in alignment with the things I was already feeling and thinking about. But then I discovered that a lot of people have words to describe it. You know, it's all vibration, and so whatever you're aligning yourself with, it makes sense that you would magnetize that, because I mean, even on like a scientific level, it just makes sense that it's like the ripple effect. So fascinating and so cool. And the more I learn about it, the more I truly believe, like, wow, this is a magical reality.
Daydream. I fell asleep amid the flowers for a couple of hours on a beautiful day. Daydream, I dream of you amid the flowers for a couple of hours, such a beautiful day.
Daydream, you're going on the battle floor. You're asleep amid the flowers for a couple of hours on a beautiful day.
Cara made a mind-blowing film called Period. You can watch it on YouTube. I will link it in the episode notes on the website. The focus on words, on pure words, caught my attention.
Language is tainted. Only some words are pure words. And only pure words allow for transcendence. Entered the red period.
In period, a big part of it is the concept of words. And so in the story, this woman is in a cult and she's been isolated in her home, and the prophet, he's training, so he impregnates her, and so she has this daughter, and so he has his own reality he's created for her to live in, and a big part of it is like what words the daughter is going to have access to so that she's pure. And so anyway, so just playing around with the ideas of like, yeah, how words affect our reality, and when we're given access to only a limited amount, and how that can be, just the different meanings we can get because of the context. And I've become increasingly more aware of my own words, and so sometimes it's hard for me to talk because I say something and then I'm like, no, like that doesn't fully express what I mean, and even just saying it diminishes it. This is funny. So it was inspired by this time where I was obsessed with the idea of having an out-of-body experience. And so I was doing these meditations to try to induce an out-of-body experience. And then I did have an experience, and I entered like this space of infinite darkness, but it was like my whole being was there. And I think I was only there for like 5 minutes or something, but then it was so bizarre because when I came out of that experience for a solid week, I was existing in reality in such a different way. So speaking of chapters in life, it was kind of like I skipped 20 chapters and I was in a completely different book. And I was relating to reality so differently. I remember playing with these kids and pretending to be an animal, and I was like pretending to be a lion. And when I roared, I remember like feeling like I was the energy of the sound coming out of my own body. It was so crazy. It was like everything was, the big thing is that I was playing around with my reality because I was aware that everything visually, like all my senses, that I had been confined to a construct that I chose to believe in. And because of that, everything kept on playing out within those laws, but that all of that could be completely different. But like the main thing, it was like I came out of that 5 minute experience with like new laws for reality. And the big thought that like I just, that was just like planted into my brain, is that everything is simultaneously itself and the opposite. So everything is real and not real. Everything is here and not here. So whatever I ever think, whatever anyone ever thinks, says, does, it's that and it's the opposite of itself. That relates to words, because I started to become more aware that anything I would say, I both believed in it and I didn't believe in it, because I realized that what I said, what anything I could say, was completely true and also completely untrue. And that was the new law of reality, is that everything, anything, was the whole spectrum always and infinitely. And it's hard to say it conceptually, but it was like that was how I felt. It wasn't even just like the thoughts. It was like, this is how I feel. And so now, I mean, I don't feel the way I felt that 1 week, because that was really intense, but I took with me these philosophies. And so now it's kind of like I feel a lot less attached to my own opinions.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Walk with me, Susie Lee, through the park and by the tree. We will rest upon the ground and look at all the bugs we found. Safely walk to school without a sound. Safely walk to school without a sound. Here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the ants and worms. We clean up and now it's time to learn. We clean up and now it's time to learn. Let us learn to spell. Nouns and books and show and tell. Playtime, we will throw the ball. Back to class, through the hall. Teacher marks our hide against the wall.
conflict in life, that the energy behind that, it seems a lot of that has to do with our minds trying to preserve concepts that we believe to be true. But now with this new philosophy of how everything is both true and false and is like the whole spectrum always, it's like I don't need to necessarily engage with changing someone's perspective because their perspective is existing in a realm where it's true and false and everything in between. I don't know.
Once more, we somehow land on the structure of the truth for the human mind. As discussed in Cosmic Dynamics number 19 and 20 a couple of weeks ago, it's a chapter to treat with a lot of respect. I still don't know how we're going to be able to address this properly when talking about paradigms and perception in general, but we'll find out, we'll see. Here, what Kyra is saying connects to what we touched on recently when looking at change dynamics, this idea of being a bit less convinced about what we believe to be true, and that's already a big one to take on.
Most beautiful feelings is when you finish a book or see a movie or experience something, and afterwards you feel a shift take place. You feel a significant difference in how you felt before you took in that art or took in that experience. And when a book hits you in just the right way, or when a piece of art hits you in just the right way, it can affect you on a subconscious level to such a degree where moving forward in your life, you have transformed a bit. And sometimes you're aware of it and sometimes you're not. But if you're aware of it, then it must have been like pretty significant. And so I feel like through creating new worlds and exploring the fantastical and the surreal, that maybe it can trigger a similar quality for my audience. And I'm not necessarily thinking about this too much when I'm creating it, because again, I don't want to get too caught up in the audience, because that can degrade, you know, maybe the artistry and the creativity behind it. But when reflecting on it, perhaps people who experience the art that I'm creating, and not just my art, but any art, perhaps that they will feel a shift in their own experience, which is a natural part of being alive. But sometimes, depending on what has been crafted, so in my particular case, a lot of the fantasy can maybe shed light on that magical quality, that potential magical quality of our existence, then maybe that can trigger in other people when they view it. Maybe they'll experience that magic for themselves.
Thank you, Kyra, for your time and openness sharing your thoughts. It was very inspiring talking to you. And I can't wait to find out what's next for you with your cooking in the studio or in whatever art form. In the meantime, I'll link the channel and social media channels in the episode notes and on our website so everyone can get up to date and follow you. Kara's production company is called All Around Artsy. Take a look. It's good stuff. Thank you to the Cosmic team for the cosmic work. And thank you all for tuning in. We're not done talking about perceptions, change via the arts, the power of words, stories, narratives, and the magic of the subtle realm. Speak to you next week. Ciao. We'll be right back.
joker and the thief. I said, I'll tell you all the story about the joker and the thief. I said, I was all about the